Morning, church.
Welcome home. What a wonderful opportunity we have to share our first worship service together here at 815 Chico Park Road. Where it rains every day. Right, Trey? It rains a lot, huh, bro? This is a wonderful opportunity. Now, listen, we're only partially moved over here. We'll have our worship services here, but we're not quite ready to take over the children's area and the youth area or the kitchen area. The contractor's still working those areas. There's still some things that they're taking care of there. So we're kind of sharing the space with them as they are continuing to work. But listen, it's been a wonderful opportunity to get in here and to finally get the opportunity to worship with you in your new home that we're planning for. We bought property here, and we did all these things over the years, and now we're here. You look around, the early service looked about this size also. There are a lot of people who are wanting to get here to worship. We went into phase three. Thank you, John Bell. But we're going to worship anyway. I don't care if it's phase one or phase two. I don't care. We're going to worship the Lord Jesus, and that's what we're here for. We're not here about a building. We're not here about this preacher or this awesome praise band. We're here for Jesus. That's it. We get to the last chapter. The first Sunday in the new building, we're on the last chapter of Revelation, the last message of Revelation. But let me tell you what, this one spoke to me. And I pray that it speaks to you also in a whole different way. If you have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. So today we conclude our year-long study in the book of Revelation. Listen, we've learned that Revelation is really not a code book for all the mysteries that God wants to show us. It's not that. It's a discipleship book for the church. It's for us to grow understanding the symbols. And how do we interpret the symbols? Well, we don't do it with the newspaper in our hand and the television on. We don't do it that way. Scripture interprets Scripture. So we go to God's Word to understand what the symbols that John was giving to us in this apocalyptic literature. So over the year that we began to pull apart and understand better, and it spoke to me in such a new way, in a different way, and I pray that it did that for you also. Today's message is revealing Jesus Christ as God. It's a whole understanding the fullness of the deity of Christ to the best of our ability. And this is what we need to hear. We need to hear that it's not baby Jesus in a manger. That He's Lord God of all the universe. Is He the Lord God of your life? Ultimately, the book of Revelation is about Jesus as God. So Revelation has rendered many titles for Jesus that backs this up. Think about it. Remember some of these titles, that He's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the holy one. He's the head of the church. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, the Lamb, the Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, Son of man, Son of God, the Amen, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Word of God. What we've seen is that Jesus is God. So let's read together. Revelation 22, 6 through 21. Let's begin reading. Verse 6. He said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold," Jesus says, "I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. And verse 10 says, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look in your word, reveal to us our condition with you. God, make yourself real to us. Holy Spirit, move freely. Move this preacher out of the way. And Lord, speak your word to the very core of our being. We'll give this service over to you completely. God, we honor you. We worship you. This is all about you. Lord, may we make much of you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We read, this Jesus who is revealed to us in Scripture is coming back soon. We saw this in the few verses that we read. In verse 7, he says, I am coming quickly. In verse 10, he says, do not seal up the words of this prophecy. Verse 12, he says, I'm coming quickly. And then in verse 20, he says, I'm coming quickly. Hey, there's something we need to get out of that. He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly, and he addresses that to the church for us to be ready at all times, not to put our guard down. And listen, church, we put our guard down. We have not been paying attention to God's heeding word to us. And Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. So we need to pay close attention to the warning that Jesus gives to his immediate and imminent return. Matter of fact, Revelation 1:7 indicates that he's already on his way. He says, behold, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. That's as if it's already happened. The word of God is bringing it so real, so alive to us. It's like it's already happened. Listen, God's word is eternal. It's solid. You can bank on it. It's there. Jesus says, it's like I'm already coming. See, for the church of 90 AD, who John addressed this letter to and sent this letter to, that Jesus wanted to send to those first seven churches. When they first received this letter of revelation, listen, they were excited in anticipation of the return of Christ. Think about it. They were being persecuted. They were being martyred for their faith. They were being thrown in prison. Life was very difficult for them as compared to us in America. Life was difficult. They were excited to hear that Jesus was coming back. They were living as if Jesus would show up this afternoon for supper. They were living as Jesus would show up maybe tomorrow, maybe even next week. You know what's the sad thing? Today, most Christians are living for the cemetery rather than for the Savior. We're just living to die. That's it. We just want to get through this life and we'll be buried somewhere, rather than looking forward for the return of Christ. Revelation 22, verse 6 says, these words are faithful and true. Verse 7 speaks of Jesus returning with blessings for his people. Verse 8 and 9, here we find John. John was so in awe of this message and the things that he'd seen. Listen, he wanted to fall down to give the angel worship. And the angel said, don't do that, John. You know what the hard thing? John was a little slow learner. He had already did this before. The angel rebuked him. Then he rebuked him again. We see in verse 10 must have really just stuck out in the church of AD 90, the early Christians. Why? Because verse 10 says, do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is near. But they were very familiar with the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it said, conceal this prophecy. The prophecy of Daniel was telling about the end time, and here we are. You go from Old Testament, conceal it, don't tell anybody, seal up the book. Now over here in the end times, John is saying, let this prophecy be known to everyone. We're living in the end times. Jesus is on his way back. We need to take that for real. So there's a question that arises that I want to use the rest of our time for. And answer this question. What does this revelation of Christ Jesus mean for us today? So we understand a little bit about what it meant for that early church, the excitement, anticipation that Christ could be back at any time. What does it mean for us today? First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, 2020. What does it mean for the church around the world? So this passage kind of reveals three important answers to us on this question. The first answer is this, that Jesus is the ultimate judge. That Jesus is the ultimate judge of all mankind. We see this in verse 11. We need to understand verse 11. It says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy, still keep himself holy. Now, what is this verse telling us? It's telling us if you are in Christ, live like it. If you're in Jesus, live like you're in Jesus. Don't live like the world. Live like you're born again. Live like Jesus means something to you. It's not a religion that you're doing. It's a relationship that you have. If you treated your spouse like you treat Jesus, would you be married long? You see, if you're a believer, live like a believer. But if you're in the world, then do what you want. Isn't it amazing how the judge is pretty much cut and dry? It goes almost against our call of evangelism to repent and be saved. Come to Jesus. Repent, come to Jesus. Repent, come to Jesus. That's what preachers preach all around the world. And yes, we should preach that. And then we get to a point, says, if you want to live like the world, if you want to live lost, live lost. Don't worry about Jesus.
But if you're claiming the name of Jesus Christ and that he's your Savior, live like it. Let the righteous continue to practice righteousness. Let the holy continue to be holy. If you don't want that, then go your way. Whoa. That's pretty strong. It sounds harsh, but Jesus doesn't play games. He is the judge. He's the Savior, but he's also the judge. He is cut and dry on these things of faith. Are you in the faith or not? If you're in the faith, live it. If you're not, then live like you want. But you will be judged accordingly. If you don't want Jesus, fine. But you're going to be judged by your life. It's quiet, huh? That's scripture. That's not Kevin. It's pretty much cut and dry. If you're in the faith, live it. Think about it. Who you are right now is really the person you ultimately desire to be. You and I won't be judged by our good intentions. Who we wish we were. We are judged by the reality of who we are today. We can easily confuse our good intentions as character of Christ. When in reality, we are not judged by our good intentions. Well, God knows my heart. God sees your actions. I want to be a better person, Brother Kevin. I want to commit and do right for the Lord. It's not what you're going to be judged by. It's not what I'm going to be judged by. You see who you are today. Because that's all you have. You don't have tomorrow. Who you are today is what you'll be judged by. So who are you today? You have right now, not tomorrow, not next week. Not to say, well, I'll try to do better. No. Who are you today? You see, maybe you want to be holy. Maybe you want to be righteous. You may want to hunger and thirst for Christ and to live more like him. Maybe you want to be faithful. Maybe you want to commit to be faithful and grow in your faith. But nothing changes. How many times people recommit their life, and within a week or two, they're right back to where they were? You see, you're going to be judged by who you are today. We have to live out our faith every day. Our good intentions will not be judged. Our desire to be better is not good enough. See, we confuse who we are with who we want to be. Sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking that simply having desire to be more Christ-like is enough. After all, God knows our heart. God knows we mean well. God does not judge us by our good intentions. Our desires to be better is not good enough to please God. Just going to church more, getting in more involved and going on some mission trips and committing ourselves over and over again, recommitting. Why can't we just get it right? Why can't we just live the life that Christ has called us to live to? Are we so distracted by the world that we can't live for Christ? Yeah, it hurts when I wrote this too. Because it applies to me too. It's like it does to you. Well, if I were judged by who I am today, what would that say about me? Am I living the faith or not? Am I living a life of holiness? Am I living the life of righteousness that Christ died to give me? He gave me his righteousness, not my own. If I'm not living in his righteousness, then I'm living in my own foolishness. Our good intentions, our simple increase in understanding of God's word and well-meaning commitments to change will not be judged. Revelation tells us this. Who you and I are is the evidence of what we truly believe. If you wanted to be different, you would be. It doesn't matter what we say. You may say, I love Jesus the most. I love Jesus more than anything. But if you're not living that way, you're a liar. You're fooling yourself. I'm fooling myself. If I say, Jesus is my Lord, and we come here and we sing all the songs and we're so excited because things are going good. But listen, if we're not living out the faith that Christ died on the cross to give to us, if we're saying one thing and living something else, we've missed it. We've missed it. You see, I'm not your judge. You're not my judge. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the judge. Who you are today is more important, infinitely more important than who you plan to be. Dennis Johnson said it this way. Every individual needs to face immediately the sort of person he is today without assuming a perpetual string of tomorrows where change might occur. And we need to evaluate ourselves today. Who are we today? Are we really living the faith that we claim that we have? Because we're really living what we truly believe. If Kevin West wants to be different, I need to live different. Not just say I want to be different, but I need to live different. Every day. Not just today, not just on Sunday, but each day that God has granted me to be here and you to be here. See, tomorrow is not promised. Intentions are not reality. I intend to be a better person. Listen, that's not reality. Who you are today is reality. Commitments are only valid by action. All we have today is to live out what we believe. Jesus is on his way, and he will be here soon. Listen to verse 12. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. Underline that in your Bible. Not what you intended to do, not what you had compassion about thinking about doing, not what somebody else is doing, by what you've done. You. What are you doing? Not what the pastor's doing, not what the mission team's doing, not what the praise team's doing, but the reward is for you by what you do. You. Are you living out the faith that you claim that you have? See, the world says that we're our own judge. Just follow your conscience, follow your heart, follow your feelings. It doesn't matter. Do what makes you happy, do what makes you feel good. You're your own judge. That's what the world says. No. Jesus is the only judge. If you're a person that makes decisions based on your feelings, man, you're all over the place. To be honest with you, you're like a roller coaster. How many bad decisions you've made because you've acted on your feelings? I've done that before. Usually fall flat on my face, too. How many times have you fallen that way? Based on your feelings. Well, just follow your conscience. No, some people's conscience are scarred up pretty bad. And they make bad decisions because they were taught bad when they were young.
You can't depend on yourself. You can't trust yourself. You have to trust Christ. So the question arises, how do you measure up today if you stand before Jesus as judge today? How do you measure up? As believers in Christ, we know that we all have God's grace and mercy as our hope in Christ on the day of judgment. Truth of the matter is, we can't stand on our merits at all. It's all Christ. It's all Jesus. That's it. If we stand before the judge, all we can say is, have mercy, because I have nothing. All I have, Jesus is it. But the follow-up question to that is, are you standing firm in the grace of Christ? See, God's grace is sufficient, but it's sufficient for us to live for Him every day, too, and live out His principles. Second answer to this question, who is Christ Jesus to us today? Jesus is our beginning and our destiny. We see in verse 13, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Three titles for Christ. They're more than simply adding or echoing the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere at one time. They also defined his deity. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Christ owns the titles as God. They are that we've read before. Something in the ancient Greek, there are three titles. These three titles are distinctly different, but I want to focus on the last one. It just kind of seems to slip by, because most of the time we focus on the Alpha and Omega. What about this beginning and the end? The beginning is archai, and the end is telos in Greek. Archai is where we get the word architect. Our architect who designed this building came with a concept out of his own mind. He's also the bass player. But out of nothing. He created, put it on paper, and now we're here sitting in it. Telos means end or finish or conclusion. So let's put this thought together, that Christ is the one who created us and designed us, and he is also the one to which we are going, beginning and end. John chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, he was the beginning, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus is the architect of the universe. We came from him. Jesus is the source, the purpose, and the origin of all things. What? Jesus? Yes. Scripture backs it up. Yes. Jesus is the architect of the universe. He is also our destiny. See, Jesus is the one from whom we came, and he is the one to whom we are going. We're created with purpose and destiny. We're more than a birth date and a death date with a dash in the middle. And sometimes we just think that we're the dash in the middle. We're just living. We're born. We learn to work. We buy a bunch of stuff. And then we die. If that's all you're doing in your life, oh, I pity you. But there are a lot of Christians, that's all they're doing. They're just living the dash, and that's it. They never think that they were created for a purpose to give God glory with whoever he created and all the things he made them to be, that they are living with a purpose for Jesus Christ. He put them here for a reason, and to live out that purpose, not just the dash, but there's a destiny that we're going to, and it's Christ. Quit living for the cemetery. Start living for Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, listen to this beautiful
Paul explains it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. He, meaning Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, great architect. Both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, we are meant not just for a purpose, for something. We are meant for a purpose, for someone. His name is Jesus. You were created for Jesus. Anything else you try to substitute for Jesus is a failure. You were created for Jesus. Jesus is all there was, all there is, and all there will be. It is in Jesus that we are most fulfilled and fully ourselves in Christ. We are who we are meant to be. Jesus is the one you and I were made for. He is our ultimate destiny and our hope. That's why in the power of the Holy Spirit, we persevere through this life for Christ and with Christ. You're pursuing something or someone in life. You were created to worship. Or are you pursuing Jesus with your life? Or are you pursuing something else? Or are you pursuing what you want or what God wants for you? Third answer for our question, who is Jesus to us today? Jesus offers cleansing for every person. For every person, Jesus has already, he's already paid the price. Hey, if you don't know Jesus today, rest assured he's already paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. There's not one sin that Jesus did not die for. He died for every one of them. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. It doesn't matter if you've been addicted. It doesn't matter if you've got a rap sheet. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus has already paid for your sin. The question comes down to, have you accepted what he's done for you on Calvary's cross? Have you claimed it for yourself? See, the only benefit you would ever have from what Jesus has done is if you claim it. If you never claim it, you'll stand before the judge on your own merits, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because we're still in our sin. Our sin still, we're carrying a lifetime of sin, and we're bringing it before the judge God and saying, here it is. Jesus has already paid for it. We see in verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Listen, and listen very closely. You personally cannot wash your own robes. In other words, you can't pay for those sins to get into heaven. You can't do it. You cannot wash your own robes. You cannot cleanse yourself from your sins. Only Jesus can do that. See, Jesus is the judge who stood before his own Father in your behalf and in mine. He took our place. He took your place. Whether you believe it or not, he did it. See, Jesus is the one. The only one who washes our robes. In other words, all that life that Kevin, all that mess that I created, Jesus is the only one who could wash this boy. And he's the only one who can do the same for you. The only one. It's not a church. I'm not inviting you. I would never invite you to join First Baptist Church thinking that's going to get you to heaven. Never. And whatever other denomination you want to set in there, or church, or movement, or whatever, those things don't save you. Only Jesus saves you. That's it. Do I want you a part of our church family? Absolutely. I like it. I think you might like it too. But Jesus is the only one who saves. The only one. Jesus has already paid the debt of your sins, regardless of how depraved and sinful and filthy and destructive and self-destructive, regardless of your past, your rap sheet, everything. He already paid for your sin, and he offers cleansing for you completely today. See, some of you are thinking, well, maybe tomorrow when I get to become a better person. You're not promised tomorrow, and you won't become a better person. You won't. Oh, you'll make a few good choices for 2 or 3 days, 4 days, and you'll go right back. That's not salvation. Jesus says he meets us right where you are. He died on the cross while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8. In other words, he didn't tell us to clean our act up first to come to him. He says, come on to me, and then I'll clean your act up. Come to me as you are, with all your messed up funk. Come on. I'll clean you up. I thought that was a pretty good amen, too. Will you submit to him today? Will you call out to him in faith and repent of your sin and believe on him? See, Jesus will save your soul, that eternal part of you. Jesus will give you a new desire to know him more. You want to pursue him. The message of Revelation is that Jesus is God and that he's going to be here soon. Jesus is patiently calling you to salvation and faith. You see, the church today and many people today said, well, this letter was written to the early church. That's 2,000 years ago, and they were looking for Jesus to come right away, and he still hasn't come. Why? Fixing to tell you why. I don't know, use scripture to back it up. You see over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. See, Jesus is patiently calling you to salvation. See, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Don't think because 2,000 years have passed that Jesus is not on his way. He's being patient with us. If Jesus would have came yesterday, you wouldn't have this opportunity to accept him. If Jesus would have arrived yesterday, you would be standing before the judge in your own sin without him. He says, today is the day of salvation. I'm giving you today for the opportunity to be saved. Verse 15 speaks about those who do not have their sins removed in Christ. See, outside of the dogs, verse 15 says, and sorcerers and immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Think about it. Are you pursuing the things of the world, or are you pursuing Christ? Jesus' patience will eventually wane, and he returns as judge. Stop trying to wash your own robes clean with good intentions and better behavior in religious ceremonies. Religious ceremonies doesn't replace Christ. Good intentions are not going to be judged. Better manners is not going to be judged. Commitments to be better will not be judged. We're going to be judged. If you don't have Christ standing up in your behalf, you will stand up before the judge on your own. today is the day of salvation. Listen to those last few verses of Revelation, and I'm closing. Listen to the call to come to Christ. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's being very patient with us. But he's coming back. And he makes this last plea for anyone who's not in the faith, anyone who doesn't know Jesus, to come to know him. We see verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, this is Jesus, yes, I am coming quickly. He says, come on. I don't care where you've been. I'm more interested in where you're going. Wherever you've been, whatever you've messed up, come on. It's this last opportunity that Revelation offers to us. Come to salvation, to come to forgiveness. Do you know Christ? Don't hold back. Don't get prideful. You don't have anything to be ashamed of being a sinner. What you need to be ashamed of is that you stay there. We're all sinners. We've come to Christ. We humbly submit ourselves to him. Because he is God. He's the judge. He's Lord of lords, King of kings, and he's coming back for his church. And he's coming back to judge all those who are not his church. Are you in the faith or not? Will you walk with Christ? Just saying, Lord, I don't know a lot about you, but I do know this. I do know that I'm a sinner. I know I've got a messed up life. And Lord, I know you can change me. I believe who you say that you are. Will you please forgive me? I give my life to you. Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I can live the life that you want me to live. And listen, then you tell somebody. We're going to open this altar up. If you want to pray, maybe today you receive Christ. Maybe during this prayer time you just say, Lord, save me. Forgive me for my sin, Lord. Come live in my life. I will follow you. See, the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see that Jesus is God and you need him. He's already paid for it. You claim it for yourself. You just say, Lord, in your own words. Maybe you just want to come up here and tell me. Brother Ken's up here. Maybe you just want to come grab one and say, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. I trust him. I believe him. Would you do that? Would you not walk out here today the same person that you came in? Would you trust Jesus to be your Savior? Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank you for Revelation. Thank you for the discipleship that we have learned in it, and we've opened so many understandings of what's going on in our world. And God, you've opened so much for us to see how much you truly love us, and that you created us here for purpose and reason to be someone in you. And that when it's all said and done in this life, we're going back to you. But there will be some people who will stand before you as judge. Not with the blood of Christ that washed away their sins, but they'll stand in their own merits, and you'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. May today they give their soul to you.
Father, today, you have your way. Spirit of God, just move in this place, pour into people's lives and change them. And we honor you already for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just join me on this altar?